Hey, I want to look today at Luke chapter 22 when Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. But while he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, did you not lay hands on me? But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." After an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also is with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. So much going on in this scene that is so powerful and tells us so much about the Lord. A few things I think that are important. I've emphasized how David's life is reiterated repeatedly in Luke, that Jesus' life resonates or echoes with the life of David. I think another one of those echoes is here in Judas betraying Jesus with a kiss. In 2 Samuel, Joab, who had sort of plotted revenge in his heart for the murder of his brother, for the killing of his brother, betrays Amasa with a kiss in 2 Samuel. And so there's another evocation or an echo there. The disciples notice, are like, "Oh, is it time for the swords? You know, we've got the two swords," and Jesus said, "That's enough." They're thinking, okay, it's time to rise up. And note how pathetic this is. Somebody strikes off a guy's ear. It's definitely not a death blow. They're definitely not doing any significant damage. This is a pretty weak uprising. Jesus, of course, rebukes them, and then he makes peace by healing the guy's ear. So he sort of diffuses the whole situation, right? I mean, imagine it's a very tense situation. He apparently diffuses it enough that the guards aren't going to do violence to the rest of the disciples. He heals an enemy, a guy who's in a short period of time going to be mocking him probably. And then he's instructing his disciples in the midst of all of this. I think, again, imagine this is the most difficult stretch of Jesus' life. And even there, he's loving his enemies. He's teaching his disciples. He's rebuking his enemies and trying to give them an opportunity. Again, this isn't anger. This is trying to shame them with their shameless behavior. But again, in all of this, Jesus has such poise. And even though he's all alone, he's thinking of the disciples and those that are getting ready to kill him and mock him. They take him to the courtyard, and Peter, you know, the text says he followed him at a distance. I think that's a picture of the state of Peter's discipleship at this point. He's not able and prepared to be a disciple of Jesus at this point. He's following at a distance, and he sits around the fire. And I think this scene kind of presents all of us with that temptation to fit in versus be identified with Christ or the body of Christ. And sometimes it's the body of Christ that we don't want to be identified with, but we're called to identify with. And of course, Peter, he faces that temptation and fails to, he gives into the temptation to try to fit in rather than say, "Oh no, yeah, I'm one of this man's disciples and I belong to them. And of course, he denies three times and the rooster crows. And I want you to imagine that moment when Jesus looks, because, you know, it occurs to me, Jesus is probably counting the cock crows. He's probably counting the, hearing it going on. In the midst of his what's going on with him, he's aware of Peter back there, and he's aware of everything that's going on. And when the rooster crows, he turns and he looks at Peter. And I think it's easy to maybe imagine that Jesus looks at him in anger or something like that. I think it's just a simple acknowledgement. Jesus has already made it clear, I've forgiven you, and after you've been restored, after you've turned, strengthen your brothers. I think he looks at him in compassion. I think he looks at him saying, essentially, I know you. I knew this was coming. I love you. But he does want to remind him, Peter, this is exactly what I said would happen. And just the last thing I want to point out is, to me, it's so interesting that the founding documents of our faith focus so relentlessly on the failures, the sins, the tears and regret of the founders, right? Here's the leader of the church that Jesus designates, Peter, and what we see forefronted are his failures, not his superheroic faith. And I think that's so key. I think it's a lesson to all leaders, both to keep us humble, but to recognize our message is never, ever ourselves. Our message is Jesus Christ, and ourselves as other servants for his sake, which is, after all, what Jesus said was greatness. So may we follow the example of the founders and the leaders of our faith who preached a crucified Messiah, a Messiah who came to serve, who is King, and may we give ourselves as servants to others, in his name. Amen.